us. Preach with us, will you?
Yes.
All right. And players, will you preach with us too? Good. Praise God. Three of you will. Glory to God. I'll get them all one of these days. I am so glad to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm just going to take a moment while you all are being seated and getting ready. Now, Ruth is with us, but this is her night to work nursery. One of these days, I would like to see her grow out of that job and being here with me all the time. But she's been a faithful nursery worker for years, which is a little ad for some of you might want to work nursery once in a while, like once a month. And it's a great place for it. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. I like that. I might keep that up here. And then again, I might not if it's yours, but I sure like it.
It's not mine.
Well, then keep it up here. Looks nice. Are you ready?
No.
Okay. If you're ever ready, I'm not going to let you preach. People ask me if I'm ready. I go, huh, are you kidding? When I get up here on the stage, I'm praying, God, help me. Mm-hmm. And then every Sunday morning, I pray, and Sunday night, I go, good night. They came back. Are you glad that your pastor, Benaiah Snyder, is here tonight to Lord today?
Amen. Let's go. We'll try it again. Let's go.
Let's go.
Oh, real quick, we're going to have some graduations. We'll do it now.
This is for the FIC class, the people who weren't here this morning, Amanda Scanlon, Michelle Carter, and Tim Cousin. Joe and Judy Dodson, it's wonderful to see you in the house. They went through us together. And I just want to thank everyone, as Ruth said, Sister Ruth said this morning, that the Freedom in Christ class was a real blessing for many people. It not only taught us our identity of who we are in Christ, it truly brought many people into the fold as a family. It brought us together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and in that was an absolute joy. So it prepared us for what's next in what we're doing in serving our Lord Jesus, and I pray that each and every person that went through that class now prays on what the Lord has in store for them, for their calling to step into that, to grow this house. In Jesus' name I give thanks. Amen. Lord, I pray over these beautiful saints. Father, we thank you for all that you do in their life, through their life, and for their life. Lord, I pray a blessing for Freedom in Christ, to know truly who we are in you, so that the purpose that you place on our hearts, that we step into it by faith, irrespective of whether we feel equipped, prepared or not, we trust in your calling on our life, and we know that each and every one of us have an identity and a unique calling, and in that, by faith, we just reach out to you, Lord, and say thank you. Here we are. Use us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So before I get started tonight, I would like to recognize a special person that's here. This person changed generations. This person decided, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And because of him, there's four generations in this house tonight. And that's my grandpa. Because he said yes. Amen. I'm going to get started with prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I thank you for the truth that you reveal through your scripture, God. I take every bit of it, and God, I dwell on it both day and night. God, I thank you for your freedom that you give through your scripture. God, I thank you that you are wonderful, and you give us wonderful scriptures that we can look and just stand in awe of who you are and what you did for us. So, God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your scripture tonight, God. Let us be mindful of it, let us focus on it, and let us dwell upon it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So the last time I preached, I had a sermon that God gave me that was really heavy because God placed a burden with it. And it was called No Child Left Behind. And it carried a burden and it was hard. But this one is totally different. And I am so excited whenever God gives me a word like this because you feel it. It hits you and you're like, man, that's good. And it might be Sunday night, but I got a question. Do you want to be free? Yes. Amen? We're going to be in John chapter 5 tonight, if you'd put that up. And I think I'm going to be in the New King James Version. The title of the sermon is called, Do You Want to Be Whole? So I'm going to read this passage of scripture, and then we're going to go over the significance of it because there is a lot wrapped up in this scripture that we need to see, and then I'll get to the message. If you're there, say amen. And it said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. Everyone say Bethesda. Yes. Having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred it up. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well, whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man went and was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said to him, who was cured? It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he said to them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But there was one who was healed, but the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and a great multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. There's a lot in this scripture. There's a lot in this scripture. And I want to kind of go through it. Now, in the King James Version, there's a word that's used that I loved because it brought great significance to what was said. In the King James Version, in the 1611 King James Version, it says, impotent folk. Impotent folk. The word impotent means unable to help yourself. They were lame, they were paralyzed, they were blind. But the story is a story about an impotent person coming in contact with an omnipotent God. Omnipotent means able to do all things, all powerful. So what we need to see in this story is he was helpless, but there was one who could help him. Amen? Now we're going to go through this, kind of work our way through it. Now it says there are feasts going on at this time, and that's why he was in Jerusalem. And it said it was, it don't say the exact name, John doesn't put it, but the scholars say that it was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Feast of Tabernacles is one of the three feasts. So a Jewish man, a Jewish male was required, if he lived in a certain area, to attend at least three feasts: the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And so Jesus, being a Jew and doing it in the rightful way, went to this Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles, I'm really excited about this. This Feast of Tabernacles, the feast is to celebrate when the farmers would stay out with their crops. So why it's called tabernacles is they build little shelters at harvest time. And they would live with the harvest until it was completed. And so that's why they called it the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the pool, the Bethesda, is at the Sheep Gate. The significance of this is the Sheep Gate was where the shepherds brought the sheep for the sacrifice. And the pool of Bethesda, the pool's name is, Bethesda means house of mercy or pool of mercy. And so the shepherds would bring the sheep would get washed, and then they would go be sacrificed. So the cool thing about this is the Lord of the harvest went to the gate of sacrifice, went to the pool of mercy, and healed someone who couldn't be healed. Amen. Let that sink in just for a little bit. The Lord of the harvest walked through the gate of sacrifice and healed all those who would receive him. Amen. Isn't that's big, isn't it? All that is wrapped up in this scripture, and sometimes we skip right over it. But if we dive in and study it, we'll see. Jesus went through the gate to a pool and demonstrated what mercy is. Amen? So tonight, we're going to talk about what are you carrying? What are you carrying? We're going to talk about this man who had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years is a long time. But he was at the right place. He laid there looking at a pool that he could never get to. Sometimes we pick up things that keep us relying on others. Tonight, I want to deal with those. Because I want us to be in a place where we can run. God is calling us to run. And sometimes we can have the littlest thing. The littlest thing. We could have the littlest setback and we find ourselves on a mat. We find ourselves with a little bitty cut and all of a sudden we're running, and all of a sudden we feel it, and we can't run like we should. How many's ever played basketball? I remember my junior year of basketball, I sprained my ankle really, really bad. And we went, was it districts? It was districts. And I had to go play with my ankle about this size. I couldn't run. And I had coach saying, run! And I was going, I can't. I couldn't run because I had something that was holding me back. Sometimes it's the littlest thing. Sometimes it's hurt. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's guilt. Sometimes it's depression. But there's times where we get taken down to the mat, just like in a boxing ring. You hit the mat. But Jesus says, do you want to be made well? So he was at the right place, but no ability to be made whole. For 38 years, someone always beat him to the pool. The water was stirred, but he could never make it there. The man gave Jesus one excuse. He says, I can't make it to the pool because someone always beats me. But notice here, Jesus didn't ask him if he wanted him to take him to the pool. Jesus didn't say, hey, I can help you to the pool. Jesus said, do you want to be made well? God isn't wanting you to come to some place and never find what you need. Sometimes we come to church with hurt. Sometimes we come to church and we sit here and we think, I can see it, but I just can't get there. I didn't come tonight to side with your excuse. I didn't come tonight to side with your issue that you're dealing with. I come tonight to tell you there's a man that can make you whole. There's a man that can make you whole. Your only qualifier is saying yes. Your only qualifier is saying yes. That man had put in the time, but it never got him to the pool. You can't earn it. It's a gift. The only qualifier you need is to say yes. Jesus, yes. I know that I got this ailment. I know that I got this issue. I know that I got this. And I'm going to say yes when you tell me to get up. Amen? When he tells you to rise up and take up your bed, the only difference between staying on the mattress and getting up is obedience. That's the only difference. And I'm not going to be long tonight, but I want us to understand something. Sometimes we're going to have to face the hard things. I rolled out this mat. It's a pretty mat. It's a pretty rug. It'd look really nice up here, wouldn't it? It would. But you know, this mat can define you. This mat can be an excuse. I can't get up because there's no water. I can't get up. This mat's defining me. I can't move. I've had this happen to me. I've been hurt. I've been abused. I've been betrayed. I can't get there because I can't get to the water. The power of the mat is holding me here. The power of the excuse is holding me here. Amen? Sometimes we as Christians have a hard time getting off the mat. Some of us want to stay on the mat. Sometimes we get attention on the mat. Sometimes we feel needed because we're on the mat. Sometimes we like people carrying us to the pool. Sometimes we use excuses. The hardest thing about getting off the mat is you got to deal with the pain. The hardest thing about getting off the mat is you need Jesus. You got to say, I need to get well, when he asks you. The hardest thing with the mat is the obedience of getting up. The hardest thing. The hardest thing. See, this mat can define you. For 38 years, that man was carried on a mat. For 38 years, he had to be carried because he couldn't help himself. But, you know, the importance of this is, you know, it wants to find him. It wants to find him as a crippled, an impotent man. But the most important thing about this story is whenever Jesus told him to get up and walk, he was now carrying a testimony. He was now carrying a testimony saying, you know what, this is what I used to be. I used to be unable to help myself. I used to have to get carried to this pool. The importance of this mat is he was able to carry what once carried him. He was able to carry what once carried him. Your mat can sometimes be your greatest weapon. You're not defined by what once held you. You're defined by what you do now. What are you going to do now? I'm reminded of another story in 1 Samuel, chapter 21, about a man named David. Now, in this story, David is being chased by his father-in-law. He's trying to kill him. If anyone had an excuse to be upset, it would be David. He had been anointed king, but he was still being trailed by something. He was desperate. He was running. But in this chapter, he finds something. There's a big significance in this. He finds something. He goes to the temple. And he says, I want bread. I need bread and I need a weapon. I need bread and I need a weapon. So the priest gives him the bread and he says, do you have a weapon? Do you have a weapon? The king sent me on a mission. I didn't have time to get anything. Do you have a weapon? And the priest said, I got one weapon. I got the sword of Goliath. The importance of this is David had killed Goliath. He didn't kill him with the sling and stone. He knocked him out with the sling and stone, but the Bible says he killed him with the sword. Sometimes when we're being pursued, God will bring us to a place where we have to remember what he's done. We have to remember what he's done. In that place, there was only one weapon. The only one David needed. The only one David needed. He didn't need any other weapons. He needed that one. Why? Because it signified something. It signified that the greatest enemy of Israel was Goliath. And he killed him. Through God's help. And so we find in this story David. And he finds the sword of Goliath. And he carries it with him. And in about a chapter later, we find where he gets to use it. The Philistines had come and they were raiding a town in Israel named Keilah. I know it's right. And so they were raiding and they were raiding the threshing floors. And David inquires of the Lord and he said, shall I go down? Shall I go down? And God said, go. So guess what David took with him? David took his testimony against the very thing, his very enemy. David took his testimony. A testimony is a powerful thing. Never underestimate your testimony. Never. Never forget your testimony. You know, the power of a testimony is, you know, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. He didn't say, leave your testimony here and walk. He didn't say, leave it here because it doesn't matter anymore. He said, take up your bed and walk. Pick it up. Sometimes when we're running and we don't understand why we're running and we're being attacked and we're being hurt, we've left the very thing back in the back that we should be remembering. Our testimony. You got to remember what God's done in your life. You got to carry that with you. It's your weapon. It's your weapon. It's your encouragement to know that Jesus delivered you. Jesus healed you. Jesus took you out of the pit and gave you a purpose. You're no longer who you once were, but now you're a child of the King. Life is going to beat you up. If someone says it doesn't, they're lying. The gospel has been preached in a way where people don't know how to deal with problems. And now we're in the shape we're in. The gospel is nothing but situations that had to be dealt with. But the gospel is telling you that Jesus is with you no matter where you go. Never forget that. Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, the sacrifice, the mercy. You know, the important thing about this passage of scripture in John 5 is it's believed that there was about 300 people on an average day that was at this pool. But on a festival, there was over 3,000 people. The only people going to that pool was the people helping the blind, the paralyzed, and the impotent there. Because you can imagine the smell. You can imagine the place, the pool of mercy was now a place of misery. Because everyone there was waiting on that one chance to get in that pool. And they could never get there. But Jesus. In our lives, Jesus walks with us. In our lives, when we face the hardest things in life, Jesus is there. When we don't know where to go, he's standing right beside us saying, I'll make you whole. I'll make you whole. Do you want to get up? The hardest thing is getting up after you've been up. That's the hardest thing. We get saved, we get off that mat, and then later down the road, we come face to face with something that knocks us right back down to that mat. Our only decision is, are we going to stay there? Are you going to stay on the mat? Is it going to define you? There's a lot of people that it is defined. Breaks my heart. That's why whenever I come in contact with someone who's facing struggles, I don't sugarcoat it. I won't sugarcoat it. There's two things I'll make you take: responsibility and accountability. Those are two things I'll make you take. A double dose. You can ask all my peoples. Those are two things I'll make you take. Why? Because it gets you off that mat. It gets you off that mat. I can side with your issue. I can side with your excuse and leave you on the mat. Or I can say, responsibility and accountability says you got to listen to Jesus. You got to pick yourself up off that mat and not be defined by your hurt. Not be defined by your betrayal, but be defined by the one who can make you whole. There's power in that. To know Jesus in a way that he speaks to you and you can understand that he's telling you, you can be made whole. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to be an impotent person on a mat being defined, being helped by something that you have no control over. The people around you. Let me tell you something. People can hurt you. People can hurt you. Some of the biggest, hardest things in life is to talk to someone who's been hurt in church. The thing is it's not the church that hurt you. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's the one carrying you to the pool that don't make it that day. But the important thing to know is Jesus isn't helping you to the pool. Jesus is giving you a way to get off the mat. We have to listen. We have to listen. In this story of David, Saul hears that David's went to that town and defeated the Philistines. That town was a city in Israel. Saul should have been there. Saul should have been in that town defending his country, but he wasn't. And so David said, I'll go fight. But when Saul found out that David was there, he sent his army to go try to trap him. Just like in this story, sometimes we face jealous people. Jealous people will hurt you. Know who your friends are. Know who your friends are. Your friends won't want to hurt you. Your friends will want to help you. In this story, in both these stories, there was jealous people. In the story of David, there was Saul who was jealous. In the story in John 5, there was religious people that were jealous. See, they had a law that you couldn't work on the Sabbath. Now, it's funny how they defined work, because in the written law, God said don't work on the Sabbath. But in the oral law, what the Jews, kind of, how many laws did they make? 600 and, yeah. They made those, defining the first 10. And so they said you couldn't work on the Sabbath, and what they defined as work is if something is heavier than 2 figs, you couldn't pick it up, because that's work. So the man that was carrying his mat on the Sabbath was working. And the thing is the first thing that he does whenever he gets healed, he goes to the temple. Because having an infirmity kept him out of the temple for 38 years. If you had an infirmity, you couldn't go to the temple. So the first thing he does is he picks up his mat and he takes off to the temple, because he's going to go worship. He's going to go praise. And the first thing that is said to him is, why are you working and who healed you? Jealous people. I want to say this. Religion will try to keep you on the mat. Relationship will try to get you off the mat. You got to know the difference. Religion is afraid of you getting off the mat, but relationship isn't. Us here at the Sanctuary of Hope, we don't want you to get off the mat and walk. We want you to get off the mat, pick it up, and run. Because we know that you can do great things. We're not afraid of your testimony. We want your testimony, because it's encouragement for the rest of us. We want to know what God has done in your life. We don't want to keep you on a mat. Stop thinking of the opposition and start thinking of the victories. Stop focusing on the people talking against you and focus on Jesus working through you. Your biggest driver is the one who's inside of you. When you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes in. So it doesn't matter what people are saying. All you got to worry about is listening to that voice that's saying, you're good enough. You're worthy. I know the plans I have for you. I've known you since you were in your mother's womb. I put you on this earth for such a time as this. I have blessings for you that you can't number. I have a love for you that you'll never understand. I love you. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. His love for us we can never define, because he knows a love that we do not. He has an unblemished love. We only love what we understand. But he has an understanding that's far above ours. He has a love far above ours. So much so that whenever they were making the harvest of the tabernacle and the festival of the tabernacle, he was there. And he knew one day he would be walking through that gate of sacrifice to a pool of mercy and demonstrating to us what love is. Love is helping someone who can't help themselves. Love is reaching down and saying, I'm not going to point you to a pool. I'm going to heal you. There's a great responsibility in being healed. There's a great responsibility because now you're required to carry your mat. I've known people who's had miracles in their lives, and they've turned away. But I want to point you to a scripture in this chapter where you hear a Father, a Savior, a Lord give us just a little bit of truth that a father does. He says, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The God of mercy is warning him, saying, that heartache, that misery that you experienced for 38 years, if you forget and you go and sin, something far worse is going to happen. Something far worse is going to happen. He gives a warning. He shoots a light off and he says, don't forget. Don't forget. The God of all love and all compassion gives us a little truth. We don't know the heartache of hell. We can't understand it. But he says, don't sin, lest something worse come upon you. He tells us, don't forget your mat. Don't leave it laying. You got to pick it up and carry it with you. When times get hard, remember, I'm right there. Remember, I'm saying, I'll make you whole. It doesn't matter. I want to tell you something. I was once on a mat. But Jesus found me at a place called mercy. And he healed what I couldn't. I was lame. I was blind. I was impotent, unable to help myself. The only thing I could see is misery of sin. But he brought me to mercy. Jesus asked me if I wanted to be made whole. And I gave him every excuse I could, every excuse I could think of. But he told me to get up and carry what once carried me. Now I stand here today with a testimony of what Jesus did for me. There's going to be times when you get knocked down. Like I said, the hardest thing is dealing with getting back up after you've gotten up. The hardest thing is going to be dealing with the hurt. The hardest thing is going to be dealing with the rejection that you felt. You can let that mat define you, or you can carry what once carried you. I know this is a Sunday night. Check, check. When God gave me this word, I was like, but it's a Sunday night crowd. They know Jesus. They've experienced him. But he did not release me. So I stand in obedience, delivering a word, saying it doesn't matter what has knocked you down, you can get back up. It doesn't matter what hurt you faced, you can get back up. The thing I want you to understand is Jesus is your biggest fan.
Yes, yes.
Something you got to understand is Jesus is your biggest fan. He wants you to get up. He wants you to run. He wants you to be made whole.
Yes.
No longer held by what once held you, but walking in freedom. Walking with the assurance and knowing that my God is able to do all things. My God is able to go before me. My God is able to heal what I can't. My God is able to speak hope into my life when I think I have none. My God is able to look down at me and speak truth and life and hope and mercy because he is omnipotent. He's the God who can do all things. If everyone wants to stand to their feet, I want to ask a question. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? I'm not going to point you to a pool, but I'm going to point you to someone who could get you off that mat. Get you off that disappointment. Get you off that hurt. So you can get up and carry what once carried you. Jesus is cheering you on. He's saying, I know your past, but get up. I know you're hurt, but get up. I know the rejection that you feel, but get up. Get up.
I normally don't do this, but Friday I was praying and I was on my way to work. And a little backstory, when I was 2 years old, depending on which set of doctors you talk to, I either got polio or I got a bad case of meningitis. I didn't walk again till I was almost five. And I've been carrying my mat for 52 years. There's not a day of my life I don't pray for the Lord to heal me. There's not a day of my life I don't pray and ask God, what is it? Oh, do I have a lack of faith? Do I not see you for who you are? What's going on? And Friday, I got the most loving and probably the strongest rebuke I've ever gotten in my life. I was driving to work, and I was being real honest with God. You know, you get to a point where you just want to get rid of the fluff. I need to talk to God for real. And I'm like, God, what's going on here? And the Holy Ghost said to me, son, you've believed the deceit and lies of the devil. I will use the things that the world brings against you. I'll use the things that the devil brings against you to give you a testimony, to give you that sense of being an overcomer, to make you victorious in your spirit. But I didn't send them to you. I am not a gimmicky God. I will take you through your troubles, but I didn't need your troubles to make you who you are. The devil will have you believe, folks, that God is using your sickness to build your faith. He'll have you believe that God is using your failed marriage to teach you about relationships. And if you're not careful, you get this idea that God is gimmicky and he needs all of this stuff to show me who he is. And the Holy Ghost told me Friday as I was driving to work, the only thing I have ever needed to teach you was for you to have a soft heart and say yes. Yes. Now, will I use all this other stuff as it comes along? Absolutely. But the only thing I've ever needed from you is for you to just yield and say yes. So if you're trapped there, understand, nowhere in this book, nowhere, do you ever find a case where someone came to Jesus and asked for healing or a miracle and he said, you're not ready yet? Show me one spot where someone came to Jesus and said, I need to be whole, and he said, I'm not done teaching you through this. The time is now. The time has always been now. Now is the appointed time. Now was the appointed time. Now will be the appointed time, because God is timeless. He is the I am. He is not the I was. He is not the I will be. He is the I am. And the only thing you need to have to get everything you need out of God, yeah, God will give you a testimony with that mat and you can carry it gloriously, but God doesn't need your mat. He's God regardless of whether you come out of it with a testimony, folks. He's God regardless of whether you ever yield to the point where you get your healing. He's God whether or not you ever yield to the point where you get saved. He's God, period. The only thing he's ever needed from you is this right here. God, I don't need a thing between me and you. I don't need a thing other than to know that you love me. Other than a heart that says, yes, yes, I'll take it, whatever it is. Yes, now is the time. I'm not carrying this junk with me the rest of my life. Now is the time. I'm going to let God do everything he wants to do. And I invite you to do the same.
Do you want to be made whole? Jesus is right here. The Holy Spirit is right here. If you're dealing with something, now's your time. Get up. Now's your time. Get up. There doesn't have to be anyone pray for you except for one person. This is between you and God. The God who can do all things, the omnipotent God, can heal what you don't think can be healed, can restore what you don't think could be fixed, and can touch you in a way where you'll never forget it. Know who he is. Know that he loves you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Don't sit on an excuse.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Do you want to be made whole?
You are here, touching every heart.
Thank you, Lord.
I worship you.
Doesn't matter how small.
I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
I feel like there's still more.
You never stop. I would.